What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
WFAN Sports Flash.
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And also brought to you by PoliceOfficersRightToSue.com. Looks like the end of an era in Queens, as reports say the Mets expected to move on from Pete Alonso after a last effort offer of 3 years and about $70 million. The Mets have already begun the pivot. They brought back Jesse Winker, 1 year, $7.5 million. Alonso likely to look elsewhere for his money, as the Mets have seemingly dug their heels in on the 30-year-old, who's third on the franchise all-time home run list, 26 behind Darryl Strawberry for the most all-time. And keep in mind, Alonso also turned down a 7-year deal, $158 million. That was in June of 2023. Never getting another big-time offer from the Mets. Unless there's a complete shift, Mets will likely look to Mark Vientos to take over at first. Rangers handled Utah 5-3, their fifth win in 8 games. Artemi Panera with a pair. Maple Leafs outlast the Devils 4-3 in overtime. Flyers bounced the Islanders 5-3. And Aaron Rodgers had his exit meetings with the Jets. We'll see if that's the last of the future Hall of Famer with gangrene. Rodgers, never one to hold his tongue on any situation. This courtesy of the Pat McAfee Show.
I gave some constructive things. You know, there's always things. There's so much that goes into the whole thing. There's the food part. There's the locker room. There's travel. There's hotel stuff. There's different. You know, you're just giving little constructive things here and there that maybe they take to heart. Maybe they don't.
27 degrees, clear skies, Central Park, and that's happening. I'm Marco Belletti.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 204. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on a 5-hour midnight ride. I got you for another 3 hours as we take you to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. Talking a lot about Pete Alonso, baseball, and obviously baseball lost a great one yesterday. As the sad, sad news of the passing of Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball, the legendary voice of the Milwaukee Brewers, just one of the great characters of the game, one of the great voices of the game, synonymous with baseball. You know, even as an actor, but, you know, doing other things. But, I mean, his role in Major League Baseball, his as a broadcaster for the Brewers, and then his role in Major League, I mean, he's just one of the great characters. It was funny because I was actually, this is going to let you into what kind of a baseball weirdo I am, but I was bored the other day and I couldn't sleep, and I just had it in my mind, and I did this. I tried to do it during COVID, when we were out without baseball. But I'm such a baseball junkie, I was bored. And I searched on YouTube, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go back and try and watch every single playoff game, if I could find it on YouTube, from the 96, 98, 90, all those runs of my Yankee childhood. No need to watch the 95 series against Seattle. So I was looking for 96. So I found game one of the ALDS, Yankees versus Rangers. And sure enough, it's Joe Morgan, Bob Costas, and Bob Uecker. That's the broadcast for that 96 ALDS. And the entire pregame, or the run-up to it, it was on YouTube. They actually showed like a lot of the talking before the game. It was about Roberto Alomar spitting on the umpire and his suspension and the umpire's, you know, possibly boycotting the game. Like they did. I completely forgot that. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but 1996, Yankees Rangers, game one of the ALDS, The Umpires Association was very upset that Major League Baseball's ruling was a 6-game suspension for Roberto Alomar in the start of the 97 season, and that he was playing games for Baltimore and actually had a big home run and helped them win game one of their ALDS series. And the umpires were, sitting in the umpire room at Yankee Stadium, threatening not to come out for a little bit. And there was concern that the game might not be played for a minute. And it was just, Euchre was just great, because they're all trying to be diplomatic about it. And Costas is like, well, it's a very tricky subject, and there's a players union, and Euchre's just like, this is ridiculous. A 6-game suspension for what he did and have it next year, I think that's absolutely ridiculous. He should be suspended right now. He's hitting home runs for Baltimore. It was perfect, Bob Euchre. And obviously, let's have a little fun and celebrate Bob Euchre. Maybe we'll play a little bit of sound from Major League. Obviously, everyone remembers all the different great one-liners. But he's clearly the best broadcaster in a sports movie of all time. There's no doubt. That's number one. Him in Major League 1 and Major League 2, there is no doubt that is the pinnacle of the role as far as broadcasters in movies. But I'm curious what you might think. What are some other good ones as we celebrate Bob Euchre? I have a couple. We'll go through them. If you have any in your mind, 888-808-1019, or your favorite lines from Major League for Bob Euchre, or I'm fascinated because he's the best at it. Is there other ones in movies that could even be in the same realm of Bob Euchre? But the great Bob Euchre passed away at 90, and all this talk about Pete Alonso, that's the last game Bob Euchre ever broadcasted. That Pete Alonso home run is the last home run he ever called. And that game is the last game he ever called. Do we have either the home run or the final call of that Milwaukee game? I think we played it when, and remember how sad it was? All right, this is the final out. This is the final call. Okay, so this is signing off the broadcast. It might not necessarily be the actual final call, but this is the end of Bob Euchre's career as the legendary broadcaster for the Milwaukee Brewers, who unfortunately passed away yesterday.
Well, New York down. They did it. And the crew will have it end.
Really a crushing end to what was a fabulous season for the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it.
That's it. That one had some sting on it. I felt bad. We played like that in full, and I remember we were all like, oh, poor Bob. That was brutal. We played it the next day, and we were all, I remember Eddie was in there too. Scazzeri was at the later in the show, and Scazzeri was already in, and we were all listening to it. We were just like, man, Bob sounds just completely dejected.
We were all saying it sounds great to hear Bob Euchre, but you wish he wasn't on the call of this because we love him, and this is sad.
Very, very sad. And then here, let's hear the Alonso home run. All the talk about Pete Alonso, the home run that I'm sure in the moment broke Bob Euchre's heart.
Alonso stepping out momentarily. Now back in there. Williams, 3 balls on a strike. And the pitch hit in the air to right. Deep warning track and gone. Peter Alonso just put New York on top in this one with a 3-run home run to right field. And just like that, a 2-0 lead is now a 3-2 deficit. That quickly. Wow. He got it all. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, he's almost stunned at that home run, as we all were. I mean, that's why, to me, I mean, just to get back to Pete for a second, like, that is the, without question, people have argued with me, I think you're crazy. Maybe, please, do you agree with me? That's not even, it's really not even close. That's the biggest home run of the season, right?
Yeah, it's not debatable. Yeah, it's not debatable. As big as the other ones were, that's on another level. They were down two runs with two outs left in an elimination game.
Yeah. I mean, that's, people, I got a call, I'm not sure if you were with me, I think it was last week, and he was, Cole was like, they don't even get there without the grand slam against the Braves. And I'm like, are you serious? They had another game in that doubleheader. This was it. They're two outs away with one of the best closers in the sport. Now the new Yankee closer. That's a huge home run. And listening to Bob is just, you feel for him in that moment. And now knowing that it's his final broadcast, you really feel for him. But, I mean, yeah, what he was in Major League, I mean, there's just so many great lines. He's going to need a rocket up his to catch that one. That's one of my favorites. There's so many. I mean, I guess the most famous is probably Just a Bit Outside. I would think that's probably the most famous. But he's just so classically great in that movie, whether it's him drinking. I'm trying to think, what are some other great broadcasters in movies? Like, he's clearly number one.
And playing a character, not just appearing as themselves.
No, correct, obviously. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, playing a character. I mean, listen, if a guy did it good enough, like in basketball, I don't think I would put them there. But and Bob Costas hates when you talk about his role in basketball. But Bob Costas and obviously... oh, my God. Do you believe in miracles? Sometimes my brain at 2:14
in the morning.
Al Michaels.
Which that's really just they're playing his call.
They're just in that movie, Basketball. It's just the two of them. They get a little, you know, the great line from Bob Costas. You're excited. Look at these nipples. He hates that. I've heard that you can't even broach that. He so regrets doing that movie. But I don't know if I don't think I would include them as much as there was some, like, that line is funny.
Do we shout out Boomer Esiason being excellent as himself in the game plan?
That's right, the game plan with Boomer. No, but I'm thinking more like John Candy in A League of Their Own, in Rookie of the Year. I don't know if I would. He was good in it.
Yeah, well, again, Uecker is interesting because he's the real broadcaster. Like,
right.
Gary Cole and Jason Bateman are unbelievable in Dodgeball, but they're actors playing characters.
That is a good one.
Fred Willard in Best in Show is on another level, but he's an actor.
Yes. But Bob Uecker was an actor. He was in Mr. Belvedere.
But he's also a broadcast. Yeah, I guess he's both.
I understand that, but he was an actual actor, and he's playing a character. He's not. I understand he did that, but, I mean, he wouldn't do it with a bottle of Jack Daniels, and, like, it was a character. It was different. Like, Bob Costas and Al Michaels were Bob Costas and Al Michaels. Like, that's who they were. He was another character. I think that counts.
Like, Bob Uecker hosted SNL.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Bob Uecker was a star, sort of, you know.
He was, how many times was he on The Tonight Show with Carson?
Yeah, no, a bunch. Bob Uecker was a legend, but... I mean, I'm trying. I definitely can. You're right. Dodgeball is a good one. That's so, and Best in Show. Those are so, like, distinct comedies that I didn't even think of
those
them.
Are two
I was
that
thinking
looked at Harry Doyle and were like, all right, what if he was even more outrageous?
Right. No, those are very obvious. Those are good. I didn't even think of those. Those are good. I was thinking like baseball, and the other one that I really like a lot was Rob Snyder in the movie. Necessary Roughness. Did you ever see that one? It's the college football movie with Sam Beckett. Why am I blanking on his name as an actor, too? From Quantum Leap and now NCIS New Orleans. What's his name? Can't think of it. I come Quantum Leap actor. Why am I drawing a blank on
Scott Bakula?
Scott Bakula. I should know that. But yeah, there's a Necessary Roughness is a great movie. Kathy Ireland's the kicker. It's a comedy. A college football team that won the NCAA tournament gets suspended for cheating, or they cut the program down, and they have to like start from nowhere. They've lost all their scholarships. They're not allowed to give scholarships, and they just form a team with, you know, the normal students on campus. And Scott Bakula, who's 40 years old, comes, you know, out off of working in the farm to go back. He was a college prospect who left to go run the family farm, and they bring him back. And Rob Snyder is the commentator. He does a good job in that too. Fumbalaya, Fumbaruski. But yeah, no, dodgeballs. That's a bold strategy, Cotton. That's a great one. But the king, without question, Bob Uecker. Sad to see him go. 888-808-1019. Ryan in Basking Ridge. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Big Mac. How you doing today?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, definitely a sad day. Grew up with Uecker in my 50s. But two shout-outs to him. One, the Miller Lite commercials where, you know, he says...
That's right, yeah.
I must the front row. I must be in the front row. That's one. And then he was on that Mr. Belvedere show.
Yes.
In the 80s.
Yes. Yep. No, he was the father, right, in the Mr. Belvedere show? Yeah. I remember it a little. Mr. Belvedere, for whatever reason, I remember a little bit when I was young. I feel like... It was like in the same lineup, or it was like on right after or before. Was it Punky Brewster, or it was the?
It was kind of like
the girl. Which one was the? Wasn't there a TV show where there was like a young girl who was a robot or something? Or a comedy where something like that. But I remember that being the same thing. But I definitely remember him on Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah, for sure. But all those Miller Lite commercials, which may be before your time, but. Those were like really popular back in the late 70s, early 80s. Like, you know, and he was definitely a star of those. So if you ever Google those,
no, I vaguely you have a Miller Lite commercial. Is that what you said? All right, let's hear Bob Uecker in the Miller Lite commercial.
It's one of my bigger days.
Let me buy a beer.
Sure. Ah, these fans, I love them. When I came in, they didn't recognize me at first, but then when I told them who I was, next thing you know, they're buying me my favorite beer, light beer from Miller. They know us ex-big leaguers drink light because it's got a third less calories than their regular beer, it's less filling, and it tastes great. Thanks.
Hey, it's a pleasure to buy a beer for a great pitcher like Whitey Ford.
So I lied. Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer, and less.
Hey, Whitey, I thought you were a lefty.
Oh, that's right.
The great Bob Uecker. You know what's funny about Bob Uecker though? Like, cause now I'm thinking about Major League and I'm looking at Mr. Belvedere, which started in 1985. God bless him, but you know, maybe it's just the gray hair, but the guy was old forever. Like, that's why, like, it's like 1985. I'm looking at the picture. He's an old man. I mean, how old is he? He's 90 now. How old is he in quick math? He's in his late mid-50s, right? What's 85 is, 40 years ago.
What year are you 50. Trying to figure out?
50. This is 2000. And he's like 40. He's like 49, 50 with a full head of gray hair in 1985. Right? He's 90 minus 40 is 50. Quick math. But he looks like an old man there. And obviously he was, you know, sort of an older guy, veteran broadcaster in Major League. Do we have any of the Major League sound while we're at it? Real quick.
Top of the sixth, and rookie sensation Ricky Vaughn on the pitch now. You can close the book on Kelner.
Oh, thank God.
Relax, we're only four runs down. We're still in this game.
You take it to him?
Oh, all right. Look, man, guy gets a second, first sign indicator.
Vaughn, a juvenile delinquent in the offseason in his Major League debut.
Yeah, that was just, it's so perfect. I think I saw, someone said that, I didn't see the tweet, let me go back and check it. Someone said that Alex Rodriguez either made a mistake or was specifically having fun when he said something about Bob Uecker and all the fans in Cleveland. Heartbroken to lose Bob Uecker, an iconic voice of baseball, he brought joy not only to Cleveland, but baseball fans everywhere. And his iconic catchphrases like, get up, get out of here, gone, will never be forgotten. I think he just...
A-Rod thought Major League was a documentary.
Do you think he's having fun, or do you think he just didn't he just made the mistake and had him heartbroken to lose Bob Uecker, an iconic voice of baseball? He brought joy not only to Cleveland, but to baseball fans everywhere. And his iconic catchphrase, like get up, get out of here, gone, will never be forgotten. I just love the idea that Alex Rodriguez thinks he was the Cleveland broadcast. Alex, God, I love you. That's so funny. I'm getting a couple. Hank Azaria in Brockmire.
Someone called. I was going to tell you that's a show. I don't know if you saw it. He was great.
Oh, I saw the first couple episodes, and I didn't follow up with it. I don't know. I laughed my ass off, but I don't know why I didn't keep up with it. I got to be honest with you. As much as I love to laugh, who doesn't? I have a hard time finding the stick-to-itiveness when it comes to comedies. I don't know what it is. Like, I very rarely will I put on a comedy, a TV show, and end up sticking with it. I have to be in the mood, and I'll binge it like for a night, and I'll watch five or six episodes. But like, I don't know what it is. Like, I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. I hadn't watched any of the later seasons. I started watching. I don't know. When they're on, I'll laugh, but I have a tough time like really getting into it to the point where I'll make sure I watch episode. All right, honey, let's put on the comedy. Like, it's always a drama or something that, you know, a thriller or something. I don't know. I just went through Ted Lasso. That's like the only comedy I can remember in recent memory where I really stuck with it and watched all of it. But Brockmire was very funny. The opening scene is of the first episode is freaking tremendous. But he gets back to the major leagues and everything. I got to go check it out. I know there's a bunch of seasons. And he was in a long time ago. He came in with... When I was working with CMB, he came in and promoted that show with Bart, Maggie, and Chris. But I don't know. I mean, I guess that counts, right? But he's the main guy. He's the actual main character of the show. I don't know if that counts. I don't know if I'm going to count it. I'm talking about the broadcaster kind of role in movies. Not necessarily the main guy. But yes, Brockmire was hilarious. What's the show with the girl that was a robot was called Small Wonder. Okay, yeah. I feel like that was in the same lineup as Mr. Belvedere. Either that or... Is Punky Brewster what I'm thinking of too? What was... Do you remember, Mike, you're a little young for Punky Brewster, right?
I was born in the 90s.
You were born in the 90s. Shame on
Although,
you.
Although, I've heard of Punky Brewster. I've not heard of Small Wonder, so I would guess Punky Brewster came later.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember if that was on the same. I feel like that those shows went together for me for some reason. Yeah, I want to see if that's on the... I'm going to try and figure out what... it wasn't TGIF. I remember that. Those were the nights, man. The TGIF lineup, that takes you back to when you were a kid. But yes, the great Bob Uecker passing away at 90. We'll have some fun with it. If you guys have any broadcasters in movies that you want to tell me about. Jerry in Long Island, what's up, Jerry?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to know, where do the Mets go from here now that they're missing out on Pete? Does Vientos go to first? Is Beatty back?
Yeah.
Where do they go? And who's starting on opening day for him?
Kodai Senga, if he's healthy, I would. Or maybe Manaea. I don't know. I would. That's actually a pretty good question, Jerry. Who's the opening day starting pitcher? Senga was considered their ace going into last year. Manaea pitched great. He gets the contract. I think it's definitely one of those two. You know what? My guess is now Manaea. I would think Manaea now starts game one of the season. That's a good question. I mean, it doesn't matter, but it's actually an interesting question who they deem to be their opening day ace. And where do the Mets go? Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they still need someone in the middle of the lineup, I would think, if they want to compete. Could they figure it out? Sure. But right now, they brought back Winker. You look at a lineup that was top 10 in offense last year. Now you've got Siri in center. Obviously, Juan Soto in right, Nimmo in left. You're going to have McNeil, I guess, at second base. No Iglesias as of yet. You could still bring Iglesias back. How about the comments from Castellanos saying that, and I talked earlier about the definition of MVP. Nick Castellanos saying on a podcast that he believed that Jose Iglesias was the MVP of the National League. I mean, the team definitely got a spark from Jose Iglesias, and he was unbelievable, hitting well over 300. I mean, he was incredibly good for them, but MVP is probably a bit of a stretch, but I mean, he was important to the Mets, no doubt, and he turned that season around. They went from, you know, 11 games under, not specifically just because of Jose Iglesias, but he had a lot to do with it, the OMG and on top of his playing. But I don't know. I would say Vientos the first, right, is the first move here if they don't go out and get a first baseman. Right? There was some when the news was out about the idea of Arise to the Yankees, there was some report that the Mets had touched on Arise. Arise played first base a lot for the Padres last year. Could you see, I mean, that's zero pop from the position, but you put a guy like that in the the batting champion, you're not going to hit him leadoff. I would imagine they're going to stick with Lindor leadoff. And if you're not going to hit him leadoff, you're not going to hit him anywhere else at the top of the order. And then you probably won't hit him at the bottom, in the middle of the order. So if you get like an Arise to play first base and you hit him eighth or ninth as kind of your second leadoff in front of Lindor, that's no pop whatsoever from first base. And I don't think he's a very good defensive first baseman. But I would think that right now you have Vientos and you find someone to play third. You get Beatty to come up and play third, or, you know, we'll see what's going on with, you know, some of the other prospects, Acuna and Mauricio, if he comes back healthy from the knee injury. And I think they're going to go from within. I wouldn't expect a big time free agent signing. I wouldn't expect a big move, trade for a Nolan Arenado or anything like that with the guys who are out there. The guys who are being discussed right now, kind of like Nolan Arenado is out there. I don't know if Ke'Bryan Hayes is actually on the trading block. He hasn't really lived up to the hype. He's had a couple of disappointing seasons, certainly offensively, and he's got back issues. But if he becomes a guy on the market, I could see something like that. 5 years of control for a player who has upside as a big-time prospect who hasn't panned out just yet. So I don't know where they would go if they try and fill third or first. There's really not a lot of first base options, really. So I don't know where they go. I think they go in and now try and give you what they thought they were going to give you last year, where you're going to have Beatty, you're going to have Mauricio, you're going to have a role from multiple young players and see who emerges, like Vientos emerged last year. But I think they're far worse offensively. Nothing they do is going to give you what Pete Alonso gave you. Nothing. Moving forward, are they more flexible? Moving forward, could they get Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Moving forward, for a 30-year-old player who's had two down years, does it make sense on some level? Sure, you could talk me into moving on from Pete Alonso. It makes sense, but it doesn't make sense this year, and I certainly don't love the way they handled it.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Everyone has an opinion. Let's hear yours. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right. 2:37. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. You know, we were just talking, Fleegs and I, as that last caller mentioned, well, what's next for the Mets? And you start to look around. I mean, there's rumors now that they could be in on Santander, which I would be surprised. I mean, I don't know where they would put him right now. He's a corner outfielder, and they've kind of got the corner outfield. I mean, I would think Winker ended that, certainly. Even before that, Winker, you can see as a role player, DH, kind of like, I don't know if they would sign Santander just to be a DH. And fourth outfielder, maybe. But I would think that put an end to it. And so you look around, and who's the other guys still out there? And the other one is Alex Bregman, who, if you're moving Vientos to first, you could put Bregman at third. Now, he's still asking for the long-term contract. Reports are that he's not yet moved into where Pete has at least was willing to go with the Mets. And he's still looking for a 5-6-7-year contract. He turned down a 6-year deal from Houston. So, I mean, and I mean, if they do that, it'll tell you exactly how, forget, you know, necessarily wanting Pete, how they view baseball players. Because, like, you could argue, right, looking at one, he's about 250 days older than Pete. He will be 31. Pete will still be 30 when the season starts. And I believe he'll play the entire season at 30. Bregman will be 31 when the season starts. So it's 250 days, but whatever you want to call it, a year older. He's a year older than Pete. Last year, he hit 260, which besides the 2020-60-game season, the lowest of his career, OPS 768, which is absolutely the lowest of his career. And if you really look at his numbers after the 17-18-19 period, where certainly 17 comes into question, and 18 and 19, there are still suspicions about buzzers and everything else. I mean, you look at after 2019, his numbers kind of have been on a steady decline since 2021. But he is still a player that, I mean, he just profiles differently, right? Now, the power numbers are going to come down in Citi Field and or Yankee Stadium, if that were still something viable, because of the Crawford boxes and left, they've been kind to him, but he's a 270, he's been 259, 260, 260, so let's call him a 260 hitter now over the last 3 years. He averages right around 25 home runs, which again, going to come down. He was down to 75 RBIs last year, but he's 768 OPS, but he's still an OPS plus 118 player. I mean, and he's excellent defensively. So if you want to look at that and they're willing to give him money that they're not willing to give Pete, it tells you they value defense at that position at third. And Vientos is probably the long-term first baseman and or DH if they go Vladimir Guerrero Jr. next year. Because again, I ask you, my fans, if they sign Bregman, does that mean you can forget Vladimir Guerrero Jr. next year? Because I would tell you no. I would tell you no. Why would that stop them? But he doesn't strike out, only 86 strikeouts this past year, which is, you know, 86. That's nothing in today's baseball. Now, he missed a handful of games. He played 145, but Bregman is an option for the Mets moving forward. That could be, I mean, I think Met fans would get excited at that option. I mean, instantly, depending on what Vientos would be at first base, your left field, your left side of the infield defense is significantly better. I mean, you got two starting pitchers, two left-handed starting pitchers in the with Manaea and Peterson, and you would have Bregman and Lindor, the left side of the infield. It's a terrific defensive left side of the infield. Plus, he's a winner. He's a gamer. In big games, I would trust Alex Bregman to be, you know, similar to what he's been. As a Yankee fan, I'd be thrilled they signed Alex Bregman. But, I mean, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at Alex Bregman work a trade for the aging, but still, I think, talented and could have a bounce-back year. Nolan Arenado, that gets you much better defensively too, probably even more so than Bregman. I mean, those are the options, because I don't see a lot of first base options. Those first base, I mean, you can get Santana, right? He's still out there. There are some still first base options you can go sign. That's not a bad 1 year option. So we'll see what plan B is now that they are looking to move on from Pete Alonso. I think 1 year deals, short term deals make the most sense, but you could still hit the top of the market. You still could go get Bregman. You could trade for Nolan Arenado. These are some of the names that are out there. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ralph in Maplewood. What's up, Ralph?
Yeah. You know, I wanted to mention something about Alonso. Everybody gives him a bear rap at first base, but he has the highest percentage of scoops, 93%.
Yes. Yes.
He saves his people a lot of errors.
I have heard that. The scoop numbers are very good for Pete Alonso. Defense, I have a tough time. Scoop percentage is probably one of the easier ones to actually look at and quantify as a defensive stat. I have a tough time getting too hung up on defensive statistics. They're very hard to follow. They're very, in my mind, kind of subjective. But scoop percentage is probably a decent one. I just go by the eye test. For me, Pete Alonso is a average first baseman who's not going to cost you. He's worked very hard. He's even occasionally open to making the special crazy play. His weakest part of his game is you know, fielding a ball and throwing it to the pitcher covering first. For whatever reason, he sucks at that. But he is not bad around the bag. He's got soft hands, there's no doubt. And he's really turned himself into a decent first baseman. This is not that would surprise me if the defense is a major hang-up for the Mets. I think it's the money, and I think it's just his overall play. The fact that he's not excellent defensively, the fact that he is pretty much just a home run hitter, and that his average was 217 2 years ago and 250 this year, it's not the kind of player they value. All right, you're gone. That's it. The scoop percentage was 93, saves a lot of errors.
I tried to look that up when I heard that, and I will agree. Scooping the ball at first base is by far Pete Alonso's best defensive attribute.
Correct.
But I've never found anywhere that actually puts a hard number on it.
Yeah, I
good or bad. I don't think it's something with all the insane metrics we get, it should be kept track of.
Yeah.
But it doesn't appear that anybody actually puts a number on it.
I haven't seen it, but he's not the first person to tell me that. I've heard that his scoop percentage, I've heard that.
The only place I could source it to was somebody on Reddit. And maybe they're accurate, but
yeah.
We don't know what anybody else's scoop percentage is.
Right, and defensive numbers can be so misleading.
All right, outs above average and defensive runs saved, everybody's is, you know, totally different.
Yeah. WAR, the same thing, depending on what website you go to, that's the WAR. But I would think scoop percentage makes the most. The ball's in the dirt, caught. I mean, that's it seems like an easy enough thing to actually be accurate with, but he's been
honestly,
around the bag.
Watching Pete, I would have guessed that it's higher than 93% because it's the one thing he's terrific at.
Yeah, no, Jason Giambi, same thing. Jason Giambi was a terrible first baseman, probably worse than Pete, but he was fine with the scoops. He just had no range and could hardly throw the ball. Charlie and Bethpage, what's up, Charlie?
Hey, Mac, what's going on, buddy?
What's
How
up?
We doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm Bob Uecker. Let him rest in peace.
Yeah, the great Bob Uecker.
Yeah, I'm a senior in Massapequa High School, 1983, and I'm drinking Miller Lite due to Bob Uecker and those great Miller Lite commercials. I mean, they were great. I mean, and Rodney Dangerfield, Deacon Jones, and that was the reason I drank Miller Lite in high school because of Bob Uecker, those great commercials. But
didn't remember them. I remember seeing one. I don't remember a lot of them, but I was actually talking about commercials a couple nights ago about the commercials that used to be around you would see constantly and have just completely, you know, fell off and no one sees them anymore. The one that jumps out, remember the York Peppermint Patty commercials?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going down the slope of it. Like they would take into a bite of a York Peppermint Patty and, like, you know, go skydiving or skiing or something like that. They used to be around all the time. And what would you do for a Klondike bar? Those commercials aren't around anymore.
Yep.
Staples.
The Miller Lite ones. Miller Lite ones, if you've got a chance, go back and look at them.
Yeah, I'll go look at it. I actually think the Miller Lite commercials now are actually pretty good. The ones, they just had the one with Jorge Posada and David Ortiz and Luke Wilson, where he's got the better taste, less filling, and the argument. And the other one, I actually find it funny. The one guy's like, they're both. And he's screaming. It's actually funny. I'm trying to think of what, I mean, Geico has had the market cornered, really, for a while. Now, I haven't seen a good Geico commercial in a while. At least it feels like that. They're hung up on the disgruntled caveman has been their most recent one. But they went through a stretch of a whole bunch of really well-done and well-thought-out different advertising plans. I thought Geico was probably the best in recent memory, but I haven't seen a good one in a while. But my favorite ones were the ones with that actor or whatever, and he would be like, he would forget the name of like the actual bit or whatever it was, but he would come on and he would say, like, my favorite one was, he's like, is two in the hand really worth one in the bush? Or is one in the hand really worth two in the bush? And then they cut to like a antique roadshow. And it's like this porcelain hand with a bird in it. And the guy is like, yeah, no, this is from 1865. He's like, I would tell you right now, if on the open market, I think that would get you two in the bush. And the woman's like, oh, my God, I had no idea. Like, it's just, that was so funny. It was Mr. Something. He called himself Mr. Something. It was that the McMillan brother actor. I forget his name, but he did these things. But that was so great. He's like, does Geico save you money? Is a bird in the hand worth two in the bush? And they cut to the antique roadshow. I would say that this bird in the hand is worth, on the open market, two in the bush. But they had the caveman. They had a bunch of different, very elaborate, very good. Geico had a good campaign for a while. But the Budweiser, the one commercial I never got into, never understood why it was so popular for a while, was the What's Up guys from Bud Light. I have no idea why that got so popular. What's that? Like, I was like, these are the dumbest commercials. Why? Like, the frog ones were better before that. They went from like those frog commercials into the What's Up commercials, and everybody did it. There was a brief time where the What's Up commercial, those commercials were everyone said What's Up. It was back when I was wearing visors. Doing the What's Up commercials. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, how you doing?
I still do wear visors from time to time. Yeah, what's up, Val? How are you?
I'm all right.
All right, just watch out for that ambulance or that truck or that train because it's coming. It's coming at some point during this call. Be careful. He hung up too.
Come on, Val. Tell me you can call back. Val, you can call back. I don't know what happened. Val, he's always good for, like, right in the middle of his... Well, the problem is Val likes to talk. I don't know if you've listened to Val's... Oh, he's back. Val, you with us? What happened? Usually you're 35 seconds to a minute and a half in before something happens where a truck drives by or a train goes by or, you know...
I was trying to run from the sanitation truck that's standing in front of me right now, That's how I ended up dropping the call.
Uh-huh.
But I got two things I wanted to bring up to you,
mm-hmm.
And there goes the truck.
Here we go.
The first one is the Mets stuff. Like, I'm not even going to get into stuff that we talked about yesterday, because I feel like this is the worst-case scenario of what I was talking about, because now it becomes more disrespectful. Because the way I was talking about it, they could have done this earlier, back channels to Boris, and it didn't have to be as public as it is. But now they've kind of shamed the guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In a weird kind of way. But outside of that, though, the Vladdy thing, right, real quick before I get to my Yankees point, in a weird kind of way, it's almost like them doing what we did with Soto last year. And I understand what you're saying about them having to give up a bunch of prospects. But I on two things on that. One, if they put a tag on certain ones, like let's say Acuna and let's say maybe Mauricio, I don't know enough about the Mets farm system to know if they would even have enough prospects to actually interest Toronto in doing something to kind of, you know, because all they're really doing is speeding up the timetable to get him. If you figure that once they get him in-house, they have a better chance than we did to either extend him in-season or to actually resign him, because that seems like what the talk is, then there really isn't that kind of hesitation on their part to kind of get it going now.
Yeah, but I disagree, because I think they're going to sign him next year.
No, and I hear you with that, but that could be the urgency move that people are talking about. Well, are you punting on this? Not to say punting on the season, but are you willing to ride out this season in hope of waiting for it? If it's something that you're going to do regardless, and you almost have the feeling that, you know, whether you trade for him or not, you're going to be able to re-sign him, it might not be such a bad idea to actually go through with the trade, so long as you're not giving up your key prospects. And that's why I say I question whether or not they have enough after those guys to actually make the trade happen.
Yeah, I think they probably do, Val, and I'm sorry to cut you off there, but I'm up against the top of the hour. I think they have the prospects to probably get it done, but it's going to cost three of your top five. Like, that's what Toronto's talking. And I think they'll stick to that, because they can't get anybody to sign there in free agency. Like, everybody, a lot of people are linked. Nobody takes the money. Nobody. So, like, they need to build that farm system. They probably need to break this thing down. I don't think trading Vladimir Guerrero is a terrible idea for them. I think they probably should, but I wouldn't be surprised. They're going to hold firm until they get to the deadline. I mean, that's the other thing, too. You can get them at the deadline and give up far less. And I would think the Mets should be in it. I mean, I'd be very surprised if the Mets aren't a contending team at the deadline. It opens it up to more people. More teams would be interested in them. But I have no fear of not signing them. If I know I want them, and if I want them bad enough where I'm willing to give up prospects, I know I'm going to sign them. And maybe I'm being presumptive here, and I'm, you know, getting in the mind of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. unfairly. I personally think you have to be an absolute moron to be as close to free agency as he is and not allow Steve Cohen an opportunity to write a check or at least get involved in the bidding. You'd have to be crazy. Like, if you want to sign an extension like Bobby Witt Jr. just did, because, you know, he's 4 years away from hitting free agency and he's going to eat up some of those arbitration years and make great money and still hit the market at, what, you know, 29, 30, 31, whatever it is when he's done being a free agent. I get that. But when you're a year away, why in the world would Vladimir Guerrero, after watching Juan Soto get $765 million in free agency, why would he, at 27 years old, not go to free agency and allow Steve Cohen to bid on him? There is no way. So even if he gets traded somewhere else, I am not worried about an extension. He can get traded to the Yankees. He can get traded to the Dodgers. He can get traded to Boston. He can get traded to the Nationals. He can get traded anywhere. I'm not worried about him signing an extension, because there is no way
He is not going to allow himself to hit free agency now that he's this close. And if I want him bad enough where I'm even considering trading three of my top five prospects or more than that, then I'll want him bad enough to write another stupid check. And I just can't imagine the Dodgers getting involved. They have Freddie Freeman at first base. We've already seen what happens when the Yankees and the Mets get involved. The Mets win. Michael Kay put out that he expects the Yankees to be all in on the Japanese star first baseman next year and not Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The Mets are going to get him next year. As much as there is a win-now mandate, as much as there is a World Series or bust thought around this team right now, and rightfully so, considering where they are in their plan, considering at the early stages you would think they are in kind of building this thing with Stearns and now Soto here for 15 years, I would much rather take my chances that my offense can carry me. If it doesn't, I'll make moves at the deadline and probably not have to give up my top prospects necessarily for another bat. And then I'm going to sign him next year. Why would I give up a ton of why would I give up all of my top prospects for a player I have full confidence I will get next year? This is different. It's unique. He's not Hal Steinbrenner with a budget. He's not the San Francisco Giants where people won't take his money. The Mets are the it factor. Juan Soto just went there. They've got OMG and they've got all the other stuff. We'll see if that continues on this year, but they've got great vibes. They've got a winning team. They got Juan Soto. They got a young manager. They got the richest owner in baseball who not only, you know, provides a winning atmosphere, but a family-friendly atmosphere. Where you can, you know, your dogs are allowed. Bring your pets. It's a family-friendly atmosphere. Oh, and I'll throw $500 million at you. He'd be crazy not to look in free agency. So to me, I'll take my chances that the offense will be good enough this year. That's why I want Pete. That's why I think Pete Alonso makes more sense even than it did prior. The more I think about it, the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. next year makes me feel better about paying Pete Alonso 27 this year or whatever it would take and then, you know, figure it out. If it's a 3-year deal, I'll live with the high payroll for 2 years and maybe a congested DH spot. So what?